Good morning and welcome to the April 17, 2023 meeting of the Chelan Public Utility District Board of Commissioners. We welcome everybody to this meeting and looks like we don't have a large audience today, but we have all five commissioners in attendance and our normal staff of our manager, Kirk Hudson, Clerk of the Board, Rebecca Newman, and General Counsel, Eric Walquist. I'd ask that everybody check their electronic devices and make sure that they're placed in the silent mode to assist in not disrupting today's meeting. We do value the public input at our meetings, and although I don't currently believe I see any public here, we will be providing an opportunity for the public to have input at the end of our morning session. And if all goes according to what we think today, we may not have an afternoon session. So we'll know at some point in this meeting, if you are wanting to testify, we ask that you come to the front to use the portable microphone and give us your name and address for the record, as we do record these meetings and we wish to have an accurate record of your input. We additionally ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. Additionally, if you wish to speak of any of the agenda items today, I'll provide that opportunity in each segment. Now today, our flag salute and safety minute will be brought to us by Dave Parkell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Monday to all of you. Hope you had a great weekend. And today's safety minute is something that is very topical, what's going on in our valley today and for the next couple of months. It's safety in roundabouts. And there are ways to navigate through roundabouts, and there's ways not to navigate through roundabouts. So first of all, they're everywhere. We're seeing them. We've got the new one going on right now by the new service center and Easy Street, and living up in Sunny Slope as I do. My wife and I are definitely affected. We're learning to accept change for the next couple months and go down to the old or to the OMI area down there, and it's just, again, it's just part, and you see them everywhere. You've got the big one over in East Wenatchee by the Cellar Bridge, and you've got a bunch on Western, and they're actually a good thing. So with that, though, it is important, let's don't be like Clark Griswold.
I guess what we do is just drive around this circle here. It should be the second left exit. There's the hotel. Hey, look, kids!
Oh.
There's Big Ben and there's Parliament.
There it is.
I know. I can't seem to get over to the left, honey. I'll try next time. Sorry. We'll get out of this jam in a minute. Kids, Big Ben, Parliament. Kids.
We know Big Ben.
Parliament. Look, kids, forget it. It's amazing. I cannot get left. There's Big Ben, kids, Parliament.
So, yeah, they've roundabouts have actually been around, believe it or not. They started in the United Kingdom around 1956. Being a history buff, I thought, well, I wanted to find out when did these things start. So 1956, a little bit later, Australia, some of the other British-influenced countries followed. And then the very first one I found in the U.S. was in a suburb of Las Vegas, Summerlin, Nevada, 1990. Apparently, that's when the very first roundabouts came to the United States. So why are they safer? You're thinking, okay, we have these areas now we're having to drive. Well, first of all, it reduces a lot of safety hazards that traditional intersections have. I mean, we're all used to going down a road. You have a red light, green light, yellow light. Someone's got to stop. Someone's got to go. It actually forces the driver to slow down. I mean, you don't have a choice. You can't be going 50 miles an hour and navigate. Well, you could, but it wouldn't go well. So that's why they really want you to reduce your speed. And it's contrary to your traditional intersection where you want to beat the red light. We've all been there. And where you've gone and, uh-oh, is it yellow? Am I safe? Am I not? Am I safe? Am I not? And it just eliminates that. And really the only entry and exit is going to be a right turn. It looked like even though Clark was trying to take get into the left lane, it actually you have to go right. And obviously it reduces the frequencies and severity of accidents. I just know, especially that intersection right now up there on the highway, and Easy Street, that whole area there, I've seen a lot of close calls where people, the light turned red, and somebody else, I mean, and they kept on going. And you're thinking most people on that intersection are going 35, 40, what have you, especially, again, with that beat the red light. I've got to go. And it's just definitely a hazard. So how do we drive them? Well, first of all, slow down. As you come up to the roundabout, you want to look for vehicles, look for pedestrians, and you want to find a gap. You always want to yield to the traffic on the left. So if you've already got somebody on the left, let them go, and when there's an opening, you can navigate through there. And then once inside, don't stop. I mean, know where you're going to go. Even if you have to go around a couple times, that's okay. Then you say, oh, yeah, I need to go off at this exit, and then exit at the street. And then remember to signal. I don't think people remember that a lot, is when you're going around the roundabout and you know, okay, I'm going to be going on this exit here, use your turn signals. And that way the person behind you knows, oh, okay, they'll back off a little bit if they see you're getting ready to turn this way. Any questions?
I have one. I love roundabouts. I'm with you. I love roundabouts. And as they've come into our valley, mm-hmm. I've often wondered why we don't take the extra step on the yield signs. And at the bottom of the yield sign, yield to the traffic on your left, because we are so completely trained to yield the right of way rather than the left of way. Did you find anything in your research?
I didn't. No. That's a good point, though.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. the learning curve is steep for those that, you know, have lived their life with the right of way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But I agree with you. I love roundabouts.
Yeah.
Clark Griswold aside.
Yes.
Curious. I've been around or behind many people that just go straight. Is that okay to do? Is that
sightable? I think it's frowned upon. I don't. Because sometimes you get those roundabouts, they have a pretty good dip,
so it's probably not good for the bottom of the vehicle. They just go straight over. I'm like, huh.
Okay.
Quickest, yeah. Shortest distance between two points.
Apparently, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I appreciated your video clip.
Thank you. Start a little week with some humor. That's never a bad thing. Yeah. Well, everyone, thanks so much. Have a good rest of your week.
Thanks, Dave. You too.
Thank you.
So item two on our agenda is the approval of the agenda, and staff has made a recommendation that we consider moving items 9, 10, and 11 to the consent agenda. Does that meet with the approval of the commission? Any objections? If there's no objections, we will move items 9, 10, and 11 to the consent agenda. And then the next item on the agenda, right, the agenda will be approved as modified. The next item on the agenda is our balanced scorecard. And I talked with Rebecca before this meeting about where do we want to go as a commission with this today. This is our normal time to go through it item by item. We have tentatively scheduled conversation at board workshop to take a look at, is this still meeting our needs? Do we want to do a deeper dive into what's on it and how we approach it? So the question for today would be, do we want to go through our normal process of line item by line item, and maybe this might be the first time for Kelly to understand how we've approached this the last several years, the balanced scorecard. Normally, we only talk about the items that we have not completed or are not green. And it abbreviates us going through it. But at the same time, or also at the same time, I think we as a new commission need to have a conversation about, are all the items on here what we want on here? And maybe the bigger question of, is this how we want to approach our board governance? And we're having a governance workshop later this month.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we could, you know, at a moment in time during that workshop, talk about this if you so desire, and even just bypass this today. Yes.
My recommendation, since we're going to delve into this at a future meeting, I've looked through this. I don't see anything that causes me any angst. So my recommendation is just to wait until we have an opportunity with all the board members to go through it and reevaluate it.
Okay. Any other comments?
Sounds good to me. I'll just note I don't have any red.
As usual, an overachiever.
Of course, I didn't know what I was doing.
You're not supposed to say that part.
Oh.
All right. So that being said, then let's move on to item 4, public power benefit projects update. Felicity.
Good morning, commissioners. Pleasure to be here.
Good morning.
Public power benefit program. This is an update today to give you guys an idea of where we are and making sure that we're in line with your expectations. This is a board-sponsored program, so we just want to make sure that we are doing what you would like to do. This program supports the mission that we have by enhancing the quality of life in Chelan County through programs that distribute public power benefits. We've done that through for the last 9 years. This is the ninth year that we've been in this program, starting in 2015. And up to this point, we have made available $44,000. So it's really quite an achievement. Looking at what we've actually delivered, we've done a lot of great things. Our initial thought was to crawl before we walk, before we run. In that vein, we did start off slow, and then we've gained momentum over time. Our fiber program has been the primary recipient of public power benefits, receiving over 52% of the allocation so far. We have passed over 5,500 premises and are on track to pass the 9,200 by the end of 2026. So on target, and I know you guys heard an update on it, and that's great. Our parks day use passes, we had a record high of 4,000 issued in 2022. Overall, we have distributed 19,000 passes to our customer owners. This is available only for Chelan County residents. We have placed 5 EV charging stations throughout the community and delivered over 10,000 sessions. Our supported employment program has allowed us to provide 2 half-time positions for persons with cognitive disabilities. We've also been able to provide river access to residents in Plain, as well as those that are visiting Plain at the Plain substation sites. We funded the PUD story at the Discovery Center. While that was not all of the work that was done, we have increased our visitors by 50% since 2019, not counting 2020. As you all know, we had some challenges in that year. Speaking of 2020, we were able to provide support during our pandemic. When the community asked, we were able to deliver. We completed an evaluation of the substation site in Malaga that helped support economic development. We did some other projects, but these are the ones we have some that are already in play. But these are ones that are just completed and we can highlight today. And so thank you, commissioners, for helping support our community in this way. Taking a look at what we have available, for 2023, we have allocated $3 million already. And we have about $3 million to allocate. So that's what we're here today to discuss options for allocations. our look back in our financials from this year supports that we would also be able to, our look back and look forward of our financials also supports that we'd be able to offer $6 million again in 2024. The four projects that we've allocated in 2023 include the fiber expansion, which was an additional $2 million that we added there, a sport court at Walla Walla Park, Lake Chelan Research Institute, and additional support for our jobs readiness program. The three projects we'd like to recommend providing additional funding for are already in play, and we would like to be able to allocate additional money to help complete the planned work. The three projects include an additional $800,000 for the Service Center Loop Trail Extension, an additional $670,000 for the Dryden Wastewater Plant, and an additional $1.5 million that we would allocate toward the Wenatchee Riverfront Park. The Service Center Loop Trail Extension would provide access from the parking lot at the Service Center, the public parking lot at the Service Center, to interpretive sites that would then also connect to the Loop Trail. This is important for our customer owners if they're visiting our site because once the Confluence Parkway goes in, there will not be a direct route from the Service Center to the Confluence Park for parking. So it would allow access to that area easily and efficiently. I'd like to also just point out that the interpretive sites are not included in this project, that those are things we had committed to already outside of the Public Power Benefit Program. A couple of renderings from what we hope this could look like. Our Dryden Wastewater Plant. Well, we had our bid was right on target, but the estimated, we had still, the engineer's estimate was right on. But we had funding from grant and loan, and we didn't fully fund the project. So we have about $670,000 that remains unfunded for that particular project. So the request today would be to make that project whole with both the grant funding, or with, I guess, in complementing the grant funding as well as the loan from the Department of Ecology. That project is estimated to be completed in 2024. For the Wenatchee Riverfront Park, we have already allocated $2 million, and the city has contributed $2 million as well to that project. We're asking for additional funding right now of about $1.5 million, which essentially is the remainder after we fund the Dryden Wastewater Project and the Loop Trail Extension. The final design and bidding for Phase 1 is planned to be complete in 2023, and right now preliminary estimates for that first phase are about $6 to $8 million. So even with this additional funding, we would still be short, but we would like to at least make sure we have a good, and then we would plan through budgeting process what that final looks like. There is, it's not complete, so we do have some options still. Again, this is just through conceptual design right now. To show you a snapshot of what is in the design. So this includes the area down at the end of Fifth Street near the train depot, restroom area. You can see that up on the top left, the existing restroom that is in there, and then also the splash pad and where that might be located. For reference, here's the roundabout too at the bottom right-hand side. Another view of the splash pad and how that might look. Our next steps in the program, we'd like some board feedback today to consider the recommendations for allocations for 2023 that are the three projects that I just mentioned. Also looking for considering projects for 2024 allocations. Our financial results, as I mentioned earlier, do support funding the full $6 million. We would come back to the board for during the 2024 business planning cycle to bring forward projects for 2024. And also, next steps, I know we're approaching the end of our strategic planning cycle, so we would be looking to reevaluate the public power benefit program during the 2020, as we move forward for 2024. Are there questions I can answer today?
Commissioners, feedback, questions?
Felicity, I don't remember. Maybe you can help clear up my loss of memory here. On the Horan area, mm-hmm. was there a restroom that was planned for that site or not?
We did not have a restroom planned for that site.
No. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Carnan, and then Steve.
Okay. Well, when I first was elected, I was contacted by the INIAT Museum mm-hmm. people, and they needed some assistance on that museum. I'm wondering if that's within our project, or I've also been told that staff has contacted them, and there is a discussion, and was just wondering how that fit in, or does it fit in the program, and maybe we could look at something like that for the community of INIAT. Thank you.
Yes, we did have, I think, evaluating some pieces of that. A lot of what they were doing was general maintenance. It is within our project boundary. I'm going to let Justin is up here, so he probably has a bit more to add.
You're doing great.
good job there.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So we do anticipate bringing a proposed modification to our existing agreement with the city of INTIAT. So we have a separate agreement with the city of INTIAT and then an agreement with the museum. And so we've been, the one with the city comes with some financial support. And so I feel like it's important to have the long-term support and stability for the museum via the city as an effective conduit for that. And so that will not, I don't anticipate needing public power benefit funding for that. We would utilize an existing agreement with a slight amendment, and we would use the funding that we have allocated on an annual basis to support the city and the museum effort. And of course, it would be at the board's discretion if we need additional funding, or we feel like we need some additional funding to better support the museum. You can make that determination at that time.
Great, thank you.
So the short answer is that need that was brought forward to us is being addressed through other avenues.
Yes, sir. So I would anticipate in the next 90 days, hopefully we can bring that agreement to you. That's in process. We've had a number of conversations with the city and the museum. The city is amenable to incorporating the museum into that agreement.
And that is at a long-standing agreement that we've had in place with the city of INIAT.
Great. Other questions? Steve.
Felicity, on 2023, with the recommendations from staff, does that conclude, does that take care of the budget?
Correct, yes. There's about, it's just shy of $3 million. I think it's 3.02 has been allocated already, so the 2.98 is what we would be allocating. We're recommending allocation today. We would still, 2024 planning cycle is coming up, though, within the next couple of months. So if there are additional projects, as you can see from the list, we have about $2 million that's completing the fiber expansion. That would be the last year we would allocate to fiber to get them to the full amount to complete that project. And then we would have the remainder available to allocate to other projects.
So my question is, adding on to that, then we need to, if we wanted to add on to that list, then we would have to increase that budget. Is that correct?
Correct. And but I don't know that we'll need to, depending on where you'd want to slot another project, because there will be $2024 dollars available in the next couple of months to start planning for.
So can I go ahead and throw out an
Absolutely.
Idea out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the work that staff has done on the Stehekin project with the battery study that we did, and maybe Andy wants to chime in here at some point too. We looked at that as, I'd like to look at that a little bit differently. I'd like to look at that as an innovation project for us to study, try a battery system out and learn from that, kind of using Stehekin as a test site, and look at that a little bit differently than a business model that, you know, dollars and cents doesn't completely make sense. I don't know that, but I'd like to learn. I'd like to try it and learn from it. And at some point, so I'm just throwing that idea out, that I would like to throw that idea out to staff to react, you know, the possibility of that, review the cost of that, the benefit of that, and look at it as a pilot project that we can learn from, possibly further down the road. I'd like us to add that into our thinking.
Yeah, I think that would be completely appropriate for us to consider. There are dollars there for 2024. And even if we said, well, we can go do that today, I don't think we could spend the money before 2024. So I think timing-wise, I think it fits for our consideration of the planning for the 2024 public power benefit.
Thank you.
Felicity, were there other requests that were made from community partners or members that aren't showing up here?
We had a couple of requests, yes. We had one and we actually evaluated it with the team with Commissioner Congdon and Commissioner McKenna this last fall, and that was there was an EV request for EV charging stations at Chelan at their community center that they're building. We would like to look at that through our overall EV planning cycle and determine where that fits best in there. So that was one we didn't want to move forward with at the time, just because we haven't looking at our overall strategy with that. We had a couple of other requests that didn't fit within the scope of the program. So Wenatchee River Institute had requested a couple of items as well that didn't fit within. We have one from TRED as well, which is looking at connecting some trail systems, which it's possible we can look at some of that, but it would be very limited in scope in terms of where the overlap might occur with the program.
Sorry, Rebecca. There's always a good handful every year that gets submitted, and we review those as Lucy suggested with the commissioner group that's assigned in that particular year. And the biggest hurdle is just finding something, making sure they're all within our authority and with a nexus back to our mission, what we do. I would say that it's always an interesting exercise to go through those every year.
And Commissioner Allen, there is an appendix at the end of this showing kind of what the public power benefit requirements are, so that you can kind of read through that and understand it a little better. And if you have further questions, please feel free to ask.
Just going to append on to that we also had to did fund an effort with the City of Chelan, a partnership with the City of Chelan on some park planning effort. And that, I think that also highlights that we're trying, to the extent that we can, we try to leverage our these funds. And, in some cases, we're the only funder, and it may be a project that we're leading. In other cases, it's one that we're we still have, it's still within our authority, but there may be other partners involved that are providing financial support. So the City of Chelan is one example where they provided, I think, a 10% match. And then with Riverfront Park in Wenatchee, the City of Wenatchee has committed $2 million to date for that effort as well. So I wanted to mention that.
Carmen.
I got a question and a comment, and I'll just first start with my comment, and that was with Commissioner McKenna's proposal to look at the Stehekin project a little differently, and I think that is a worthwhile thing to do, because, you know, it kind of leaves us with this what can we do to help communities, and the public power benefit is there to do that. And so I think it's very appropriate to fund a project of that magnitude for a community that needs some help. And and it falls within our, you know, our jurisdiction, or I guess you might call it. The question I have is in the fiber program and the power benefit there. Are the dollars that are given to the fiber program, is it just as a supplemental to the budget, or are there specific projects within the fiber program that those dollars are going to go to, such as areas in Manson that haven't had fiber? Are those dollars targeted for certain areas, or is it just a supplement to the budget?
They are targeted for certain areas. So there was an evaluation done in terms of areas that fit within the program, meaning that they don't necessarily have the payback over time period. So public power benefits are done often without, because we don't have a strong business case associated with the work. So those areas are targeted. There were a number of them that were identified early on, and we're continuing to work through those and prioritizing those.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And there, just to be clear, there are some dollars that aren't specific to areas too, and that's the get the 9,300 plus premises, and that's the part that we talked about at the last board meeting, where some of that is a bit of a moving target, and so there's areas that come in and out using those PPP dollars. And the dollars here are just for the public power benefit side of the fiber program. So there's a whole another part of the fiber program that these dollars aren't, the O&M side and some of the additional routine growth, those types of things are in the fiber budget separate from this.
Okay, thank you.
And Bob, you can correct us if we said anything that was inaccurate.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up. Got a thumbs up. All right. Any other questions or requests for feedback, but no specific action requested today?
We would like to ensure that we are carrying out the program in the way the board desires.
Is that sort of a head nod?
Head nod would be wonderful. Would really appreciate that.
I think you know, you're on target. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Felicity.
Thank you.
All right. We've reached, believe it or not, the end of the morning agenda already.
Can I say something really quick just at the end of the public power benefit presentation? Just one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about was, since we've had this program, you know, other than a few cases, our existing staff has just absorbed all of that to the tune of, I think it was $44 million. Is that what it has been? In terms of trying to implement those projects. And, you know, to some extent, we've implemented really effectively, and to the other situations, it's taken us a while to implement them. We have trouble implementing that $6 million a year. And so one of the things I've been thinking about is just building the support structure necessary to do this and to do it well. And I look forward to the discussion we have when we look at the 2024 allocations and just trying to figure out ways we can implement these projects and not just add them to the plates of people that already have full workloads. And so that's been part of our struggle along the way. So it's one thing I've been thinking about that definitely want you to be aware of and on your radar.
All right. We're good. So we are at the end of the morning agenda, and I don't see any public here, but this is the time for public comment if I'm missing anything. I'd like to move directly into our consent agenda, and we modified the consent agenda by adding items 9, 10, and 11 to it. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as modified?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda as modified. All those in any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is carried, and we are now to resolution number 8.
Come on up, David. As he's coming up, I'll read the Title, a resolution ratifying field work order change order number 25 and further approving field work order change order number 26 for the service center project with Absher Construction Company of Puyallup, Washington for construction of the service center project pursuant to general contractor construction manager contract number 18-91. David, welcome.
It's only been a month since I've been here last, but we have a lot to cover since then. So I'll try to run through this quickly. So we issued change order 25. The amount of $430,000, that was for a variety of different project issues, but some that were pretty dated. And so we were pleased to get those resolved through a split of contractor contingency and owner contingency through change order. So those were related to actually post-bid addenda and structural steel erection that happened some time ago. So we're making good progress there. And then today we're asking for approval of change order 26. And this has three items. There's a time extension, cultural impacts on structural steel erection, and partial impacts on the electrical scope of work. So on time, Randy, you saw this coming last time. We had a very aggressive completion schedule to get phase one done, which required us starting site work right at the end of February. And the contractor was geared up, ready to go. And our late snow and freeze really made the site difficult to get moving. So they're well on their way now, but that did impact. We lost some time. So through this change order, we're extending the substantial completion date of phase one by 16 days to May 10th. This still aligns with our move-in plan, but it is very tight now. So that has no cost associated with it, just time. And it doesn't change substantial completion dates of phase two and three. So on the structural steel, erection, this contractor was pretty significantly impacted by the delays, not just for stopping work, but also resequencing activities and then working through adverse weather conditions. And so it was challenging to negotiate these costs and understand the true impact, but we did come to a resolution on those. And with this change order, we're resolving all known claims for the structural steel scope of work. So there's the benefit there. On the electrical, this was also a pretty significant impact to the electrical contractor. Our electrician is under the ECCM, Electrical Contractor Construction Manager contract, which is we pay them based on actual cost of work up to a guaranteed maximum price. So with their impacts, they're difficult to quantify. They have submitted some estimates, but not with sufficient substantiation to be able to evaluate. But we do acknowledge there has been some impact. And so through this change order, we are increasing their project budget by $1.5 million for cost of work, plus about just under $500,000 for their general conditions using our own district estimate. So this is what we know to be true. And we're going to continue to negotiate with them to reach a full resolution on cultural related impacts. So this allows them to continue billing as we continue negotiations. So in total, change order 26 is for $3.8 million, which brings our total contract price to $119 million. These settlements align with our estimate we used to in the variance we presented last fall. So it aligns with our current project budget. So in total, we're about two-thirds of the way through costs related to cultural, down to the last few subcontractors, but of course they get more challenging as we go. So I'm optimistic that my next visit to the board, probably about this time next month, we will be substantially complete with phase one and gearing up to start moving staff into the new facility. Any questions?
Yeah. Commissioners, any questions? Go ahead.
I just want to ask, do you have a plan to celebrate when this is all done? Are you like, going to fly around the world or something?
I will find a way to do that.
You know, yeah. I just want to add, you know, we haven't spoken of this here a lot, but, you know, you look back at the timeline on what we were doing. We were in a hot construction market. We got hit with COVID, had COVID delays. We were hit with the whole supply chain challenge coming out of COVID. We were hit with cultural events. And then the one that really just, you know, no one event puts a person over the top, but I asked one day, and I think I probably asked Dan, why it was the sequence of putting the siding on the service center building was so sporadic and what I thought was erratic. And to come to find out that geopolitics of war impacted our siding, that some of the components of our siding were coming out of the Ukraine. I mean, we had a perfect storm, and you guys have navigated that perfect storm, I think, really well. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah. All right.
I want to be at the party.
Okay. Well, commissioners, we only have one resolution to act on today. Is there a motion to approve resolution number 8?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution number 8. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Thanks, David. I hear nothing but compliments of how much people that drive by the site now can see that's being done from day to day. I mean, I hear a lot of people say it's amazing every day you can see something
differences.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so right now things are really going good. So thank you.
Yeah. All right. Manager items.
I've got two of them. First one I'd like to invite Lindsay Mons up for. This is a temporary change to our public hours at the service counter. So, Lindsay, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Morning, Commissioners. Lindsay Mons, Business Manager and Customer Utilities. As Kirk mentioned, here today to chat a little bit about a temporary change in our public hours and customer relations. Customer relations is that front group in the Wenatchee lobby that takes payments at the counter. We also receive phone calls. We're kind of the first stop for customers inquiring about their bills. So in person, via phone, email, all the different channels there. The primary responsibilities in customer relations really are those billing, payment acceptance, maintenance of customer accounts, credit and collections in those situations where we have to handle that. So they're really that customer-facing interaction with the PUD on their local utility bills. So in line with our values, we are making this change to support trustworthiness and operational excellence in this operational unit. We have significant changes underway in our billing system, both with projects underway and recent developments just in the way the system works and processes transactions. Therefore, we are in need of performing a lot more staff training in order to support that competency and continued competency in those areas, the billing, the payments. There are a wide variety of things that these employees are expected to know and be experts in. So we want to bolster that, support those employees, and so they can continue to provide that service to the customers. So what are we doing? We are changing our office hours on Wednesdays. So instead of being open 5 days a week, 8 to 5, for customer interactions, we are closing the customer-facing portion of the operations on Wednesdays. This is our phones and the payment counter. We would continue to perform all the back office services that we provide today. So processing mail payments, everything else will continue as normal. It's just that in-person customer interaction so that we can use that time. We can, of course, flex the back office operations for freeing up time for training. It's much more difficult to do that on demand with customers. So that's the reasoning behind that. And Wednesdays really are our lowest traffic day from a customer perspective. So the least amount of impact, while we do recognize it will be an impact to customers, that day we're hoping is the fewest number of customers impacted. Additionally, they will still have the opportunity, early in the week and the end of the week to do business in person with us. We're making this change, as I mentioned, Wednesdays starting in May. And until we move to the new service center, so through September. And then at that point, we would be back to regular operational hours. What does remain open? Customers will continue to have many ways to make their payments. We have our self-service PowerPay kiosks, so you may have seen these in the lobby. This here is a picture of the one in the vestibule of the Wenatchee lobby. They're right inside the doors from Wenatchee Avenue. We also have them outside our offices in Chelan and Leavenworth, so customers can make payments there using cash check cards. So it provides all those services. We have an on-site payment drop box that will continue to process payments daily from that, as well as our mail payments daily. We have our online PowerPay system where customers can make daily payments or schedule automatic payments from there. And then we also have a payment phone line. So those services will continue to be open all days of the week, and in some cases 24 hours a day. And the Wenatchee lobby itself will remain open, so customers that are here to see energy resources can continue to have those conversations there or all of the other district operations. From here, we are planning to put out some information to the public via radio, social media, website, all those different avenues that we commonly use. Educating our customers both on our new office hours and on our payment kiosks. So we'll provide some additional information on how to use them, what they will need, some of the different things there. And we do plan to provide some support from seasonal staff to answer questions even on Wednesdays when the payment counter is closed. If a customer needs help navigating the kiosk and how to use it, we will provide that support as well. And then throughout this whole process, monitoring the effectiveness of it to make sure that we're meeting our goals and getting our staff all up to speed. Any questions?
Commissioner, any questions?
I might just share with you that my other business, we feel the exact same pain, you know, the high turnover and being able to have that training time. So we've done the same thing, where we are closed one day so that we can spend undivided time tending to our training and making sure that our newer staff is up to speed. So I think this is a smart move. It's painful, but it's necessary.
Great. Thank you for the forewarning as well.
So on a typical emergency, those calls can still come in and be addressed if we had that kind of...
Absolutely. Set. Thank you for pointing that out. I had it as a bullet in the slide, and I skipped right over it. Yes, we will continue to say, for example, a customer was without power and needed to make payment to be reconnected. We will absolutely make accommodations to work with those customers.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions? Just a comment. I think we collectively as a commission... No, you don't take a move like this lightly, and that you've put a lot of effort into figuring out the least painful way to make positive things happen for the long term. So thank you for your diligence and you know, what you're proposing so we can create that better future.
Thank you.
I'm just going to share my experience with a similar situation we had in the Peshawestown Water District, where we had to downsize because of changes in our office and different things. Where we once had a office that was Monday through Friday, and people could come and pay their bills and those sort of things. But then we lost that ability. We went to a one day, and that was in the middle of the week. And yes, there is some pain to go through under that, but over time people get adjusted to those kinds of things. We adjusted a little bit as well, you know, as far as staying open during noon and those kinds of things. But you know, it's a small district, same similar situation, and you're going to go through the same kind of things that we went through, but it will adjust and everybody will get used to it. So I appreciate what you're doing. I understand the situation, so thank you.
Yeah, I would just add, it really is a last resort, and I know the group really prides themselves on providing that excellent customer service, and we really are at a point with all the changes in the systems that we feel like this is the best thing to provide the best overall service we can at this time. And I'll say we picked Wednesday because that's what we're trying to be more data-driven, and that was the day that at least the data would suggest impacted the least amount of customers. And, you know, that being said, we might learn because of what you're sharing with us that we might learn that maybe that's not the best day. But well, at least for starters, we're going to start with Wednesday and see how it goes. And we'll be nimble and adapt to where we impact the customers the least. So.
Well, and I'd like to really just thank staff and point out for those maybe listening that there will be seasonal staff available in support of kiosk help and other basic support issues. So it's not as if the customer service area will be abandoned. There will be people there to provide support. And I think that's a brilliant idea to provide that opportunity both for the seasonal staff, but also for those customer owners that come in on a Wednesday and need a little bit of help with the kiosk. Yeah, good thinking. Good job.
Thanks. Thank you, Lindsay.
Yes, thank you all, commissioners and management, for support in this. Going into it optimistic. And
all right.
Thank you.
Right.
The other manager item I had was just a reminder that we had set a special meeting for a strategy partner meeting this Friday out at the Confluence Technology Center from 1 to 2:30. And that's to meet with a group of local business leaders and public agency leaders. We do this annually, provide them an update, kind of the state of the PUD, and planning to kick off the discussion for things we should be thinking about for the next strategic plan. So should be a good meeting.
Yeah.
And that's all I have.
Commission items. We do have a need to set two special meetings, one on April 28th and one May 16th. Could I get somebody to propose that motion that you have before you?
I'd like to propose on Friday, April 28th at 9 a.m. at Confluence Technology Center, 285 Technology Center Way, that we conduct a meeting for the purpose of holding a board governance workshop. I'm going to go on to the second.
Go ahead.
And also on Tuesday, May 16th, 2023 at 1 o'clock at the Confluence Technology Center, 285 Technology Center Way, Wenatchee, a meeting for the purpose of holding a tri-commission meeting.
Is there a second to that motion?
A second.
Been moved and seconded to hold two special meetings that you've just heard stated. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Is there any other commissioner business to come before us right now?
It's okay.
Arsenal.
I would just like to invite everyone who's in earshot of my voice in this room and elsewhere, there is a box of lemons, you know, on Lisa Sanders' desk. So please help yourself. I there were some grapefruit in there, but I think those might be long gone. But certainly enjoy the lemons. They were picked just a week ago, and historically they've been pretty sweet. So they make a great lemonade. I'm looking at John over here. Well, Karen is making a lemon pizza. That is outstanding. So they are very versatile anyway. And, of course, a beverage as well. So,
Mr. McKenna.
I think it would be really appropriate at this point to mention that Gary just completed a year serving as statewide president for the WCUTA organization. With a big smile on his face, he ended his last meeting, and I just think it would be appropriate as a fellow commissioner to say, one, how proud I was to have a representation from in leadership from this table right here today, and just appreciate Gary's work and hours. He spent traveling. In fact, I think he still has one more PUD to visit, but he went around with PUD staff and listened and learned, and I think is really going to provide a strategic pathway for our state organization and efforts. And I just it's a commendable task and leadership by Gary, and I just wanted to say how much I appreciated that, his efforts this last year. So,
I think a round of applause would be great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other commissioner item?
Just one thing. I was invited to take a tour of the Chelan Hospital, and tomorrow is that day. It's at 9 o'clock, and if anybody, the invitation is extended to anybody on the board as well, or staff. So I will be attending that in the morning, just as a courtesy to see how it went. And so there you go.
Glad you'll be there.
All right.
Well, I'd like good. To attend with you.
Okay, sure. Absolutely.
You said that's at 9?
Yeah. I thought you might.
Yeah. Go anywhere without me.
Hey, anything else? I would add that, as Commissioner McKenna indicated, Commissioner Arsenault isn't quite done with his assignments. If any of you know where Ponderay County is, that's on his list for tomorrow.
I'm leaving right after this meeting to drive to Spokane to attend Ponderay at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, so no rest for the wicked. All right. Anything else? Follow up on delegation of action items?
Yeah, from the prior meeting, we had one. Andy Wendell was going to provide information on planning thresholds for water and wastewater, and I think he's working on that, if I'm not mistaken. And for today, the only one I captured was the consideration of the Stehekin battery for future PPP dollars.
Okay, so you got both of those. Any additional public comment? I don't see any public here. Any other matters that need to come before us? Before we move into executive session, now the executive session that's being on the agenda is might take as much as 90 minutes. And I'd like to suggest that we move right into it. And if we go a little bit past noon in executive session, that would wrap up the entire meeting. We might be at 12:15 or in that neighborhood. So, okay.
I'd just say 90 minutes was a conservative estimate. I think you could beat that too.
Oh, could be shorter than
yeah,
that? Okay.
Yeah, very
okay.
Likely shorter.
Okay. So at this time, we will move into executive session to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease when public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause the likelihood of decreased price as authorized by the RCWs. And to review the performance of a public employee as authorized by the RCWs for no more than 90 minutes. We will move directly into executive session. It is 12:25 p.m., April 17th, 2023. We've been in executive session for a little less than 90 minutes. No votes were taken, no decisions were made. Is there any other business to come before the commission? Hearing none, we will stand adjourned.